The commentary track presents Radio Movies, classic radio shows based on classic films, with your host, Frank Thompson.
Howdy, y'all. Welcome to episode 12 of Radio Movies. Tonight we're going to play the radio adaptation of one of my favorite films, Ruggles of Red Gap. This is Academy Award Theater, originally broadcast on June 8th, 1946, which is a solid decade after the film came out, which is possibly why they only have two of the stars of the film, Charles Laughton and Charlie Ruggles, no relation to the Ruggles in the title. I guess everybody else had just forgotten they were in it. It's a delightful film and a delightful radio show, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'll give you a little bit of background on the film. It was based on a novel by Harry Leon Wilson that was published in 1915, and on Christmas Day of that same year, it was produced as a play in New York. They didn't let the grass grow under their feet at all. Hollywood didn't come calling for a couple of years. In 1918, there was a version directed by Lawrence C. Wyndham. It starred Taylor Holmes, Virginia Valley, Frederick Burton, Edna Phillips, and the great Rod LaRocque. This one, I've never seen any of the silent versions, and not altogether sure which ones exist. I'd like to see this one. They did some exterior filming at the Grand Canyon, and that would have been cool to see. In 1923, James Cruise made a version, and I would really love to see this one because Edward Everett Horton, the great Edward Everett Horton, plays Ruggles. And just listen to this cast. Everybody in it is terrific. Ernest Torrance, Lois Wilson, Charles Ogle, yes, the original Frankenstein, Monster, and Louise Dresser. And it was not only directed by James Cruise, it was photographed by Carl Brown. So this has got to be a masterpiece. I would love to see it. And after this film was made in 1935, it inspired one more remake to date. And it's only, well, it's a film that kind of starts off with the basic premise, but doesn't much resemble Ruggles of Red Gap, which is George Marshall's Fancy Pants in 1950, which stars Bob Hope and Lucille Ball. For that cast and that director, I recommend you see it. For a version of Ruggles of Red Gap, it ain't quite up to snuff, but nevertheless, fun as it is. This version was made in 1935. I think I already said that. And it was directed by Leo McCarey. The cast in the film is Charles Laughton, Mary Boland, Zazu Pitts, Roland Young, Leela Hyams, Maude Ebern, and Lucian Littlefield, among many others. Elsa Lanchester, in her autobiography, stated that Laughton himself requested that Leo McCarey direct the film. Laughton delayed the filming of Ruggles of Red Gap twice. First one, he was hired by MGM to play Micawber in David Copperfield. And it depends on which trade magazine of the day that you believe. One says that after he got the job, he decided he didn't want it, and he asked to be let out of his contract. Another said that MGM, at the last minute, balked at his $15,000 a week salary, and so they traded him to Paramount for W.C. Fields, who, as you must know, found the role of a lifetime playing Micawber in David Copperfield. If you haven't seen that film, also 1935, of course, I strongly urge you to see it. Fields is more than great in it. For Fields is always good, but this is a film that seems to have just been tailor-made for him. I'd to think that it was first tailor-made for Charles Laughton. So, but here's how he delayed Ruggles Red Gap the first time. He shaved his head to play Micawber. Not altogether sure why, because W.C. Fields played the part with hair, but Laughton decided that Micawber must be totally bald. So when they traded him back to Paramount, he couldn't play Ruggles because Ruggles had hair. Laughton refused to wear a toupee, and so they just had to wait until his hair grew back. So the second time Laughton delayed the filming of Ruggles of Red Gap was later in August, and I hope that you're not eating dinner listening. If you are, put this on pause, finish dinner, and then come back. On August 26th, I believe, Lawton underwent emergency surgery for a rectal abscess at Cedars of Lebanon Hospital. That just sounds horrible. Horrible. But it kept him in the hospital and away from the set, so they had to delay production until September 10th, 1934. As always, there were casting comings and goings. Charles Ruggles was originally cast to play the role that he plays in the film. He was working on a film called The Pursuit of Happiness, and I guess the schedule went a little longer than they intended, so Paramount replaced him with Sidney Toler, who most of you know was a frequent Charlie Chan, among other many great films. But then they decided they would rather wait for Charlie Ruggles, because Ruggles and Mary Boland had started teaming up, or being perceived as kind of a movie team, and they thought, since she was in it, that they should probably just wait until Ruggles could get back and continue this plugging of the two of them as a comedy team, which they did. One cast member who I would have been curious to see, because the part doesn't even exist in the film in which we know it, and that was Baby Leroy, the little kid who so frequently tormented W.C. Fields in his films. He was cast as Zazu Pitts' son in the film, and then for some reason he was replaced by another kid who isn't in the movie. So if you watch the movie now, you will see that Zazu has no son, and I don't know what that means exactly. Not quite clear as to whether the other kid actually filmed any scenes, but Baby Leroy did not. Now, you would think that anybody would be tickled pink to have Zazu Pitts in any movie. I think she should be in every other movie if I had my druthers. But Charles Lawton did not want her in the role of Mrs. Judson. He wanted Ruth Gordon. Paramount did not agree. Paramount didn't have Ruth Gordon under contract, and they had Zazu Pitts under contract. And they liked Zazu Pitts, and I can't blame them. And also, Sir Guy Standing was in the cast very briefly, only to be knocked out eventually by Roland Young. To me, this is a good movie to play now because it's still the week after July 4th, and we still have residual patriotism going on around here, don't we? And I've always looked at Ruggles of Red Gap as a real American film, as a real film about the virtues of America, because it's about a British butler, a very staid butler who has never had much choice in his life, who gets lost in a poker game by his boss and is brought to America by a couple of rootin' tootin' Westerners. Well, Charlie Ruggles is the rootin' tootin' one. Mary Boland is the upwardly mobile type. It's a great comedy, but it's also the story of how this British butler begins to embrace the ideals of America and begins to see the possibilities that he has living here, that he doesn't have to be in service, that he can make his own life. And one of the real famous scenes, or the most beloved scenes of the film, is when they're in a bar room and the conversation gets around to the Gettysburg Address, and none of the Americans in the bar can remember how the Gettysburg Address goes, but Ruggles knows, and he recites it to them, to their awestruck silence. But the audiences who saw it in 1935 were not awestruck into silence. They burst into applause at virtually every showing. Lawton enjoyed reciting it so much that he kept doing it on stage. Also, he used to go on tour reading the Bible. I don't know if you knew that, but he was a great public speaker. What a voice. He has said that at the end of Mutiny on the Bounty, on the last day of shooting on Catalina, he recited it, and then on the set of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, he recited it again. People loved to hear him do the Gettysburg Address, although he looked nothing like Lincoln, did he? Come on. Now, that is a great scene, and it's a very moving scene. But my favorite scene is a comedy scene that is virtually indescribable. And all I can say is it's the scene toward the end of the film. There's a party going on, and Roland Young, who plays Ruggles' original boss, and the beautiful Leela Hyams are, starting to flirt with each other in their very, very dissimilar styles. And Roland Young is trying to learn to play the drums. And Leela Hyams is playing a song on the piano and trying to encourage him to keep in time. And there is nothing about the writing of that scene that would indicate how funny it is. And I can't even describe why it's funny. I simply say to you, watch the film. It kills me every time I see it. I just love it. In September 1935, there was a story in one of the trades about how Japanese audiences were rejecting subtitled films because the subtitles were hard to read for some reason. I never have any trouble reading Japanese subtitles, but they did. I don't know what. Poor education, I guess. The first American film that was dubbed into Japanese was Harold Lloyd's Feet First. And then the next two that went into the pipeline were 4 Hours to Kill and Ruggles of Red Gap. So had you gone to Japan in 1935, and chances are you did, what do I know? You could have seen Ruggles of Red Gap with people speaking Japanese in it. Wasn't dubbed into German, I'll tell you that. Nazi Germany did not like it, mostly because of the Gettysburg Address speech. But I think they didn't like the general theme of freedom and possibility in America. So it was banned in Nazi Germany. Too bad. Maybe if they had laughed a little bit more, they wouldn't have got up to so many bad hijinks. This is an amazing fact that 3 films starring Charles Laughton were nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture of 1935. 3 the same year starring Charles Laughton. And they are Ruggles of Red Gap, Les Miserables, or as we like to say, Les Mis, and Mutiny on the Bounty. Mutiny on the Bounty, of course, won. It really is a testimony to what a wonderfully diverse and versatile actor Laughton was simply by looking at those 3 roles. They seem to have nothing in common at all. Not the way he holds himself, not the way he speaks, just the way he looks. I mean, he can't help that, but it's really a remarkable, virtuosic set of performances all within months and even weeks of each other and when he was making these films. So, as always, this radio show is much shorter than the film, so it's much more streamlined. But it has a great deal of the charm of the film, and I think that you will really like it. So here's Ruggles of Red Gap, and I'll talk to you soon.
House of Squibb, manufacturing chemist to the medical profession since 1858, bring you Academy Award. The pictures, the players, the techniques and skills which have won or been nominated for. The coveted awards granted each year by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences to each in his field for outstanding achievement. The House of Squibb, makers of the great family of Squibb medicinal products, today bring you 2 distinguished stars, Charles Laughton and Charlie Ruggles, playing the famous roles they created for the screen in that outstanding comedy drama, Ruggles of Red Gap. Mr. Laughton has twice been nominated as Best Actor of the Year and in 1932 won the Academy Award. Ruggles of Red Gap was nominated as Best Production of the Year for the 1935 Academy Award. This is the story of a good American and how he grew. This is the story of Ruggles, a gentleman's gentleman, a man's man, an English valet whose master lost him in an unfortunate game of poker to a horny-handed American citizen of Red Gap, a friendly town of the far west.
Do I understand your lordship to say that I was a stake in a game of poker?
That's right. It seems I lost you, Ruggles, to a Mr. and Mrs. Egbert Floud. Rather rustic chap, Egbert. Made a pile in mining, Ruggles. But you don't have to go off if you don't want to.
Go off, sir.
I've got an idea. I rather think they want to take you back to Red Gap.
Red Gap, sir?
Yes, Ruggles. Some outpost in America, I believe.
America? America, my lord. A country of slavery.
Oh, I think that's all finished. I believe some chap of the name of Lincoln did something about it.
I understand, my lord.
There's the bell, Ruggles. I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't that chap Egbert. Collect you.
To collect me, my lord? Very well, my lord. By the way, my lord, any parting remarks?
I don't think so, Ruggles. Oh, yes, of course. Stiff upper plate, Ruggles.
Thank you, my lord.
All out, Red Gap.
Well, hey, Ruggles, this is home. This is Red Gap. Pretty far from London, huh?
Yes, sir. Are those cowboys, Mr. Cloud?
Yep, friends and neighbors. Well, come on, let's go. And remember now, none of that fancy butler stuff with me around here, Bill. As far as I'm concerned, you're Colonel Ruggles. You get that? Colonel Ruggles.
Yes, sir, but I mean to say, sir.
Come on, Effie, let's go.
Oh, my dear. How sweet of you to come and meet us.
Oh, how smart you look in your cutaway. I'd never have known it was you.
You well ain't so sure myself, daughter.
This is Ruggles, Egbert's man. He persuaded our friend Lord Grinstead to let him come to us. Ruggles, this is Mr. Belknap Jackson, our son-in-law.
Sir,
how do you do?
Oh, holy cow, there's your ma, Effie. Ma Pettingill, you old maverick.
Sourdough, you old horn toad.
Well, Ma, what kept you? I'll bet you were sitting in that old silver dollar saloon.
Ah, 'tain't so. Don't you know that this is the first train that's been on time since the railroad was built?
Foreign travel doesn't seem to have altered my dear father-in-law very much. I dare say you find him rather a trial after his lordship, eh, Ruggles?
Not at all, Mr. Belknap Jackson. Quite the reverse.
Hey, Sardo, where'd you get that trashy suit?
And that hat! Oh, baby!
Excuse me, sir.
Ma, meet the colonel.
Hi, Colonel.
How do you do?
Where's your uniform?
Mater.
Do I hear the voice of that darn dude, Belknap Jackson?
Mater, you can't shake hands with him. He's a man's man.
You bet your boots he is.
Hello, Mother.
Why, Effie. Well, darn me if you don't look like a real lady. Hey, boy!
You need a butler.
Mother, Ruggles is Egbert's servant.
Well, too good for him, if you ask me.
Bring that luggage, Ruggles.
Very good, sir.
You're going to like it here, Ruggles. If Egbert likes you, you're a regular guy. And if you're okay with Egbert, you're okay with Red Gap.
Thank you, madam.
And don't be calling me madam, Colonel. My name's Ma. Ma Pettingill.
Yes, Ma.
Well, come on, there's the wagon. Let's get going. Come on, Bill.
Bill, yes, sir.
Just a minute, Egbert. I have written out this notice, which is to be printed in the society page of our newspaper. The Flouds are accompanied by their English manservants, secured through the Earl of Grinstead. He will no doubt do much to impart an air of continental smartness to the Floud reception today.
Whoa, that's some mess of words, huh?
Now, you give that to Jake Henshaw, the editor of the paper, himself.
All right, Effie. Come on, Bill, let's go.
Go, sir. Yes, sir. But is this the newspaper office, sir?
Oh, no. This is Nell Kenner's place. The Bohemian crowd's having a barbecue.
Hello, Sardo. When'd you come off the train?
Well, I just got in, Jake. Jake, shake hands with my friend Colonel Ruggles.
How do you do?
Colonel, shake hands with Jake Henshaw, smartest newspaper man in the West.
How do you do? Colonel? What army, sir?
Well, the truth of the matter is that I...
British Army, retired.
You don't say so. Say, that's a swell piece for the paper.
All right, well, go ahead, Bill. Go on. Now circulate. Make yourself to home.
Yes, sir. It seems to be a very tempting odor, sir. Could I inquire into its origin?
Well, that's barbecue sauce, Bill. Go on over and chin with the gal who's cooking it. That's Mrs. Judson.
Why, Egbert Flood, you old son of a gun.
Hello, Nell. I've been looking for you. Where you been?
Meat sauce is really excellent, my good woman.
If you're calling me good woman because you don't know my name... Name is Judson.
I'm delighted to make your acquaintance, I'm sure.
So you like my meat sauce, do you?
It's very good. It's very good indeed, in its own way.
What do you mean, in its own way?
Well, I was just thinking that maybe a few drops of this and a little bit of that might transform it into a really superlative sauce.
Oh, so that's what you're thinking. Well, let me tell you that I've been making meat sauce for longer than I can remember, and nobody's ever found fault.
My dear Mrs. Judson, I was not finding fault.
Well, then, what did you mean by a few drops of this and a little of that?
Well, I only meant that maybe a little spice and perhaps some wine vinegar.
Who ever heard of putting wine vinegar in a meat sauce? Oh, what? I believe you're kidding.
I shouldn't dream of... kidding, of doing such a thing, Mrs. Judson. I was only trying to put you right.
Put me right. Now listen, Colonel. You stick to the things you know, like leading a regiment.
What?
And I'll stick to what I know.
My dear Mrs. Judson, let us not become embroiled in an international squabble. Shall we dance?
I'd love to.
Hey, cheese it, Bill. Here comes bad news himself. It's Belknap Jackson.
Colonel, whatever is the matter? I must say you're the finest dancer I've ever had for a partner.
Would you excuse me for just a moment, please?
Well, Ruggles. What have you to say?
Only that Mr. Egbert brought me here, sir, and told me to mix. I am endeavoring to obey his instructions.
Don't be impertinent. I was driving past and I saw you dancing. Saw you with my very own eyes. Now, you'll leave this place immediately.
Not without Mr. Egbert's orders, sir.
What?
I am sorry, sir. I say, was that you that kicked me, sir?
Yes. It most certainly was. I hope that'll teach you a lesson.
Why, he kicked me!
Yes, sir. So I did, sir. Why, I did, didn't I?
And I demand that that ruffian be discharged at once.
Whatever possessed you to kick Mr. Belknap Jackson, I shall never understand.
Nor I, madam. Ordinarily, I am a model of self-control. It must have been Mr. Belknap Jackson's unfortunate behavior.
Oh, I'm afraid you'll have to go, Ruggles.
Madam, do you mean that I am to be abandoned to my fate in this uncivilized outpost?
Oh.
Uncivilized outpost?
You see, Effie, the man is utterly impossible. Go and pack your bags immediately.
But, sir, how am I to return to England?
You should have thought of that before, I'm afraid.
Yes, sir.
Now, just a minute, Bill. Just a minute. Look here, you two. Before you go throwing Bill out on his ear, you better get a load of today's paper. Colonel Marmaduke Ruggles, late of the British Army, bon vivant and man of the world, is at present the honored guest of Mr. Egbert Flower.
Wait! That's not the message I gave you to be printed.
I know, Effie, but let me finish. An intimate friend of the Earl of Brinstead, Colonel Ruggles, will be a great acquisition to our social life. We understand that a series of entertainments are already being planned by socially prominent figures of Red Gap, such as Mrs. Judy Ballard and Mrs. Ralph Wilson.
Oh, this is disaster. This is complete social disaster.
Oh, how dare you pass yourself off as a colonel?
I made no such pretense, madam. You know, Mr. Floud will call me that.
Oh, Mrs. Judy Ballard. A party for Ruggles. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, how do you do? You must be Colonel Ruggles. This is Mrs. Baron Carey.
How do you do?
Miss Jerry Grant. And I'm Mrs.
Do?
Ballard.
How
Mrs.
Do do?
Judy Ballard. We felt we simply had to make your acquaintance.
What are we going to do?
We've got to go through with it.
Effie, my dear, we've just called to welcome the Colonel to Red Gap. Oh, how sweet of you.
Sure, you'll excuse the Colonel for a minute. He was just going to change out of those black things into something cooler.
Well, we'll excuse him if he's not too long.
Hey.
But I thought...
Never mind what you thought, Colonel. Charles will tell you all about it.
Come along. Colonel?
Yes, sir?
Yes, Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
In just a moment, we bring you the second part of Academy Award. Until you've tried pure Squibb dental cream, you'll never know how much you may be missing in a dentifrice. For Squibb dental cream is three ways refreshing. First, it has a delightful flavor, cool and inviting as dewy fresh mint. That's why you can taste the refreshing difference when you use Squibb dental cream. Second, its lively action brings to your whole mouth a sense of being gloriously clean and alive. That's why you can feel the refreshing difference when you use Squibb dental cream. And third, when you look in the mirror, you can see the refreshing difference because the polishing agent in pure Squibb dental cream is one of the safest, softest, yet most effective known to dental science. Ask for the dental cream that belongs in the great family of Squibb quality products. Ask for Squibb dental cream. Taste, feel, and see the refreshing difference. Before continuing with the second part of Ruggles of Red Gap, we want to thank Paramount Pictures for making this story available. Paramount's current production is OSS, starring Alan Ladd and Geraldine Fitzgerald. And now the House of Squibb presents part two of Academy Awards, starring Charles Lawton and Charlie Ruggles in Ruggles of Red Gap.
Well, Ruggles, now the farce is over. Just what are you doing in the library, Ruggles?
I am discovering the most amazing things about your country, sir. A land of freedom and equality. Do you know Abraham Lincoln said...
Where did you get that book?
I found it on the shelf, sir.
So I see. Well, if you had taken the trouble to look, you would have found my name on the flyleaf. And if you had inquired, you would have learned that I allow no one to use my book.
I'm very sorry, sir.
Yes, and those house slippers. They're particularly offensive to me. They belong only in the bedroom.
His lordship frequently wore house slippers in the drawing room, sir. In fact, I recall one occasion when he went dancing in house slippers.
Oh, no, no. No gentleman would go beyond the bathroom with those shoes.
Do you mean to imply that his lordship would...
Drop that weapon!
Weapon, sir. I was only resting my hand on this bookend, sir. Just your imagination, sir.
Oh, no, it isn't. I caught the same murderous look in your eyes the night you struck me.
I hope that incident has been forgotten, sir.
Well, it hasn't. And that's why I'm giving you notice.
Notice, sir?
Exactly. And keep your hand away from that bookend.
I can't believe it, sir. I thought everything was going so well.
Well, for you. But for the rest of us, the situation is impossible. Now, here's your ticket to San Francisco. I fancy you can manage to work your way to London from there. That's all, Ruggles. You'll just have time to pack and catch the number 36. South!
Thank you.
My train is a half hour late, and I thought I would drop in and have a bite to eat.
Welcome to the Silver Dollar Saloon, Colonel. Eat hearty.
Well. What are you doing here, Bill?
Oh, Mr. Floud, sir. I hope you don't think that I followed you here, sir. I thought you were on your way to the ranch.
We are. Only we thought it wouldn't hurt none if we split a bottle of liquor first.
Well, what's eating you, Bill? Sit down.
It's very nice of you to cover an awkward situation like this, sir. But I must ask to be excused.
Yeah, what's he talking about?
First time I ever seen Bill drunk.
I am not drunk. I just want you to know, sir, that I have only the kindliest feelings towards you both.
Tight as a tick.
And now, if you'll excuse me, I must catch my train.
Train?
Well, sit down here, Bill, and sober up.
Please, sir, I am not in the least intoxicated. I am simply trying to tell you that you were undoubtedly justified in discharging me.
We better humor him, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, who fired you, Bill?
Oh, Mr. Belknap Jackson, sir. But naturally, he was speaking for the family. It's very kind of you to furnish transportation to San Francisco, sir. You,
to what? Yeah, let me see that ticket. Ma, he means it.
You mean that dude, Belknap Jackson, tried to fire you?
Why, yes.
Well, I'll skin him alive.
Now, remember, Ma, don't do nothing rash. He's your son-in-law.
Oh, quit throwing that up to me.
Then I am not...
Why, Bill, we wouldn't fire you. Not even if you looked like Belknap Jackson.
I couldn't be happier, sir.
Oh, yes, you could. Drink that.
Oh, excuse me. I couldn't help overhearing. But will someone please tell me how Mr. Belknap Jackson could fire an important man like Colonel Ruggles? Fire him for what?
We spilled the beans that time.
You may as well know, Mrs. Judson, that my introduction to Red Gap as Colonel Marmaduke Ruggles was a horrible mistake. I am no one.
Oh, you must be somebody.
No, I'm not. I am just a nobody.
Yeah, but don't tell anybody, Mrs. Judson.
You mean you're just a plain, ordinary human being, same as us? Oh, I couldn't be happy.
Well, come on, drink up, Bill, and then we're going to up and move you back in the house.
Ah, but I don't want to go back, sir.
What do you mean you don't want to go back?
Well, I appreciate all you have done for me, sir. But Mr. Belknap Jackson will never consider me more than dirt under his feet, you see. And this is America, sir. A land of freedom and equality. And I must take advantage of my opportunities, sir, like Lincoln did.
We already got a president, Bill.
Oh, I am not ambitious for public office, madam. But I would like to become a part of this great country. You see, I want to be free and equal. Well, isn't that what America offers, I...
You bet your boots it is. Now, look what it says in the Constitution.
What?
Well, I guess Lincoln put it as good as anybody that day at Gettysburg. Remember what he said?
What'd he say?
Why, he said, Sam. What did Lincoln say that day at Gettysburg?
Who? Oh, him. Yeah, hey, Curly.
Yeah?
What did Lincoln say at Gettysburg?
Search me, ask Ike. He reads the papers.
What did Lincoln say at Gettysburg? Hurry up before I come over and bust you on.
Hey, Ed, what did Lincoln say at Gettysburg?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well, what kind of a saloon is this where nobody knows the answer to a simple little question like that? Well, what are you mumbling about, Bill? Well, wait a minute. That's it.
We are now engaged in
prayer. Go ahead, Bill.
67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. We are now engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives
that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far beyond our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living rather, to be consecrated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Well, turn my eyes, Bill. After that, I reckon you'll not ever go back to being a gent's gent. Why, darn it, you're a better American than we are.
Of course he is, you silly old coot. He's better because he's new. The newest American is the best American. Why, ask any Indian.
Doggone you, Ruggles, I'm furry, and so are all the boys.
Snakes and Gila monsters. Look who's come to crab the party.
Belknap Jackson, now looky here. What are you putting around here for?
I thought I paid your fare to San Francisco, Ruggles.
Yes, you did, but I decided not to go.
You heard him. He's free, 21, and an American citizen.
Righto.
Well, then, I have a little surprise for you,
please,
Ruggles.
Please, go away from me, will you?
I just heard that your master is coming here to fetch you.
What?
True. Lord Brinstead arrives this morning. He's making the trip all the way to Red Gap just to take you back into service, Ruggles. Now.
Yeah, is that so? Well, I reckon old Bill will have something to say about that.
What's the matter, Colonel? You look like you've seen a ghost.
I have, and don't call me Colonel.
Why?
He's coming to get me. You see, I'm still his servant, and I should never have tried anything else.
Naturally.
Tell him you can't go.
But you don't understand. The loyalty of my family to his lordship's family goes back many generations, Mrs. Jepson.
And so you're going to drop all this. Your chance to be free. To be your own man among men. Just to keep some Englishman buttoned up.
Now, Mrs. Jepson, please. You see, just at this moment, I feel as if I should like to jump into the river.
Well, all right. Go back to your old lordship and see if I can. And if you're thinking of jumping in the river, jump in it up by the bend. It's deeper there.
You don't understand, Mrs. Judson. You don't.
Get out of my way and stay out of it. I thought you were a man, but you're just a jellyfish. Colonel!
Wow. Looks like that gal has her feelings hurt real bad. Slammed the door and almost shook her custard pudding right to water.
Well, Ruggles, you'd better be getting your black suit on again. And while you're at it, put on your valet, man.
Yeah, now looky here. Wait a minute. What is all this talk about valet and everything? What's going on around here?
See, Ruggles, retribution.
I'll tell you
all the truth about this man. You have known him as Colonel Ruggles.
Well, he's an imposter. Yes, until he began a life of fraud here in Red Gap, he was nothing but a valet. A man's servant to this Lord Brinstead.
Thank you very much for announcing what I intended to disclose myself. It is quite true that I was in his lordship's service for many years, and I am proud of my humble beginning. And I am proud, too, to begin again here in America. And this time, I shall begin a free man. With your permission, Sam, I will ask this gentleman to leave your saloon.
Permission granted.
I order you in the name of Sam. You see, this saloon caters only to the American spirit. And you do not represent the American spirit. You are a snobster. And the cancer. And the bounder, sir. Words fail me.
Then grab that pudding, Bill, and give it to him.
Well, oh, pudding. Yes, of course, madam. The pudding. Mrs. Judson's tempting pudding.
You dare to touch me and
You see there, you see, I did it and I'm glad.
What on earth is happening?
Madam, I very much regret that I had to use your magnificent pudding in a manner unbecoming a fine dessert.
Bill, you did it. You came through. You finally bounced that stuck-up snob.
Madam, I have the honor to ask you to share my new life, madam.
After seeing this, I'm ready for anything.
Even marriage?
Even that. Mrs. Colonel Ruggles of Red Gap.
Meet Ruggles of Red Gap, everybody. Well, come on, Colonel, say something.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. You can fool some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time.
If you were to visit the Squibb Laboratories, you could see vitamin D in the making. You'd have to put on dark glasses first, though, because you'd be shown a special lamp. A lamp so powerful that its ultraviolet light converts a substance with no vitamin D activity into a product with 18 million units of vitamin D per gram. That's more vitamin D effect than you can get from the direct rays of the sun on a hot summer day. The lamp that makes vitamins at the Squibb Laboratories helps to supply America's babies with the extra vitamin D they need. It is estimated that 80% of all American babies are now given extra vitamin D. That's why the incidence of rickets is steadily diminishing. And at the Squibb Institute for Medical Research, scientists are constantly seeking new ways in which vitamin D and the other essential vitamins may serve mankind. It's one more example of Squibb's endless quest for perfection. One more reason why Squibb is a name you can trust. Next week, another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Award starring John Garfield in Pride of the Marines. Ruggles of Red Gap was written for radio by Frank Wilson, with an original musical score composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Our producer-director is D. Engelbach. Charles Lawton can currently be seen in Universal's Because of Him. Charlie Ruggles will soon be seen in Columbia's new picture, Gallant Journey. This is Hugh Brundage bidding you good night until next week at the same time, when you're invited to listen again to Academy Award, presented by the House of Squibb, a name you can trust. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
was an enjoyable radio show, wasn't it? I got a kick out of it. I also get a kick out of my wife, Claire McCullough, who is my announcer on Radio Movies and the Commentary Track, my interview show. You can find both on thecommentarytrack.com, and you can find them both there because that website was designed by the great James Hutchins, who also designed my personal website, frankthompson.tv. Hope you'll visit them both early and often. And visit Mike Bolt, who wrote the music early and often. He enjoys having visitors. Stop by the house. He'll play you a song. Please go to the websites whenever you can. Order DVDs, books, whatever. I always put up links to the film version of whatever radio show we're playing each week. And you can order through the Amazon link, and I'll get a little bit of a kickback from Amazon. I meet them in a little alley. They say, "Hey, kid, come here." They slip me a couple of pennies. It's a great thing. Now, you don't have to buy just what's linked on the site. You can buy anything. Just when you do, go through my website. That's all I'm asking. Just go through the website, thecommentarytrack.com. Go through the Amazon link, and whatever you buy, I'll get a certain percentage, which is why I'm urging you to buy big, big, expensive things. Would you like an entire warehouse of beluga caviar? You could get that. It's on Amazon. Everything that exists is for sale on Amazon. Literally anything. Would you like to buy, say, the Alamo or the White House? They're both for sale on Amazon. And if you do buy those, then I will get a kickback. And you'll be happy because you'll have the Alamo that you can do with what you will. And I'll get my little kickback. And, of course, Amazon will be tickled pink to have sold it to you. So it's win-win-win. I think it's a perfectly good thing to do. Or buy smaller things. You know, buy a small arena to hire bands to play for your friends. And you can also buy the bands through Amazon. You can buy your friends through Amazon. As a matter of fact, now this would be a great kickback for me. You might consider buying Amazon from Amazon. I mean, it would be probably a couple of billion dollars, but man, my percentage of that would be sweet. So think about that, won't you? Thank you. Got another great one coming up next week. So until then, try to find the DVD of Ruggles of Red Gap or watch it on TV or something. You'll like it.